it must be about 6 or 7 years. We have been working on, when I say we, I mean basin-wide. We were working to take out the dams via two agreements, the KBRA and the KHSA, which had multiple signatories. It was kind of like a compromise document, an agreement, right? So so there was people who didn't agree with the KBRA because of either water allocation issues or there were limited waivers of water rights, and some tribes felt like it was a threat to the sovereignty of the tribes. So there were people that didn't necessarily agree with it, and then there were a lot of people that, were on board with it. But in the end, the congressional approval didn't happen. So on December 31st, 2015, the KBRA expired. So in the time since then, the month has been, we were sort of approached by PacifiCorps, who is the owner of the dam, and they approached us with an idea that they would sell the dams to a, right now we're just calling it a dam removal entity. We're not sure what that company is going to look like. And then we'll be purchasing liability insurance, which was one of the reasons why PacifiCorps really wanted to go through the federal way of taking the dams out, because it would limit their liability. So in this case, we would buy a liability insurance policy and decommission the dams sort of privately.
It seems like this could actually be the moment when this actually happens. What's your take on it?
I just, for me personally, I'm a Kadook tribal member, and my husband's a Yurok tribal member. And we are, you know, we've both been raised on the river and in very much raised that it is our responsibility to take care of this place. And so it's really emotional to us. And, you know, I mean, there's science, but it's really just emotional for us. And it feels like... you know, I think we had gotten so wrapped up in the idea that the KBRA was going to be the sort of thing that did it for us, that took out the dams, that, you know, I think we just had lost sight of the fact that maybe there was another way. And now we're cautiously optimistic is what we say, because, we have seen so many times, we've been promised things a lot of times, and it didn't exactly go down like that. I think it's really important to mention that the KBRA is the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement, and then the KHSA is the Klamath Hydroelectric Settlement Agreement. And even though people... have often talked about these two agreements like they were the same thing, they're actually not. And so while the KBRA expired, the restoration agreement that dealt with the water allocation and sharing and had those waivers in it that people were really unhappy about, that were really controversial throughout Indian country, the KBRA, it expired, but the KHSA, which is actually the document that deals with removing the dams, is still viable. And it does not include the waivers. It does not include, you know, maybe an allocation of water that people felt like wasn't fair for the fish and the river itself. And so we're really hoping that this can be something that sort of unites people again, and we can all be on the same page about supporting the KHSA, the hydroelectric settlement agreement, as the document and agreement that's going to actually remove the dams. it's worth noting probably that we will still at some point need to deal with, you know, how we're going to share the water. Well, one of the positive things about the wait that we've had is that, you know, these years where we sort of felt like we were sitting on our hands waiting for these agreements to, you know, go through federal process. There's been a couple of positive things that have happened. One is that PacifiCorps raised $200 million to put towards the dam removal process. And they did that by the charging ratepayers a small amount. I don't know if you do you have Pacific Power?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, so they charged like a dollar or something like that. And they were able to raise $200 million over the past, you know, 8 years or whatever it's been. And in also at the same time, this past couple years, I can't remember exactly which year it was, but California passed a water bond that had $250 million earmarked for Klamath Dam removal. So we now have $450 million, which is the money that we're going to actually use to, like I had mentioned before, sort of like do this private dam removal process. You know, 10 years ago when we started working on the KBRA and the KHSA, we did not have that money. So it didn't, this wasn't actually an option then for us. This came later on. One of the other really positive things that have happened while we've been waiting, which has been very frustrating for us to feel like we were, like PacifiCorps was stalling during this time. One of the other really positive things is that we've seen dams removed. We've seen the Condit Dam removed. We've seen the Elwha Dam removed. We've seen the capacity of the river to heal itself, which as tribal people, like we've always said that that was the way it would be because we just know that. But, you know, it takes, I guess, science and, you know, a time-lapse video to really convince people that that's the way it works. And, you know, we also know now that the fish have totally revitalized their, you know, the populations have been totally revitalized and they are doing much better than people had initially even, you know, predicted.
As you're moving towards this potential removal of the dam, you got PacifiCorps to agree and to participate in this. Are the people, all the people in your local community, do they all support it as well? Or are there some people who are against it?
No, there's definitely against the dam removal process.
Yes.
Or against the agreement process?
Against the dam removal.
Oh, yes. There are people in the communities that are against it. You know, it's actually, we just did, I don't know if you knew, we just did these scoping meetings for the 401 Clean Water Act permit. The State Water Resource Control Board came to Arcata, Orleans, and then Wairika, which is sort of towards the upper basin. It's definitely in the, you know, northern, far northern part of California up there. And so they came, and, you know, you'll go to the meetings in Arcata and in Orleans, and it's 100% dam removal advocates. Sometimes we disagree on how it should be done, but it's all 100% for dam removal. But as you travel into the upper basin, you definitely run in. I mean, you can even physically see as you're driving up, they have signs that they've put up outside their house that says, you know, keep the Klamath Dam, stop the Klamath Dam scam. Like, and I just, it's really hard because there is definitely a group of, I don't want to be like generalizing because it's not that simple, but there's definitely a group of people who don't agree with the idea of dam removal, period. And as you go into the upper basin, you do find those people. In that same sense, you know, we have through the years sort of like created relationships with some of the upper basin irrigators and ranchers and farmers. And, you know, I mean, we're friends with some of them. You know, we've gone up there before to, we went up to Merrill, Oregon, and did the, they'd have a potato festival up there. And we went up there and we cooked fish of several years in a row. It's like a big deal there. And, you know, it was really, it's really interesting. Like, we were really accepted, which, you know, we were nervous about going up there. We're not always accepted in the Upper Klamath Basin as Indian people and dam removal advocates. You know, there have been really tense situations, and some of that is probably what you might be remembering from, you know, years past. There have, you know, there have been a lot of tense situations, and we really, going forward, try and retain the relationships that we've built. We're not interested in sort of going back to the water wars era of things where there it was chaos. And I think we don't want to get ourselves in a situation where we're like, it would be best if we could come to an agreement on how we're going to deal with things, because it's really hard for us as Indian people to say, oh, well, or to try and, or maybe to, like, leave it up to the government. You know what I mean? Because we don't trust the government, and we don't want it to turn into that again. So I hope that answered your question.
You did. And so I want to ask you, is there a timeline for what's going to happen next?
Actually, and that's one of the things that has given us so much hope. So the Climate Justice Coalition, we gave ourselves a name after years, but we have, it's an umbrella group, like it's an encompassing group, but there are some sort of the key players that have been involved since the very beginning, myself and my husband, and there's about four other people that have, you know, I mean, we've really been sticking this out for years. I mean, I'm being told year after year after year that it was coming, you know. Through the years, we've done actions. We've been around the world, literally, you know, advocating for dam removal and Klamath dam removal specifically. And so for us, when after the agreement expired, I'm sorry, the KBRA expired, and on December 31st, it really felt like it was a huge letdown, because at that point, we didn't know that there was going to be this other thing that happened. So we actually met with PacifiCorps, and which we thought was very, very cool of them to meet with us as, you know, as the people who come from here, because they didn't have to do that. Really, they could have just worked with, you know, the tribes or the state governments and not had to kind of like meet with us, but they did. They came here actually to our house and sat down with us, and, you know, we were just like, we're just like telling them from the get-go, like, listen, like, we're super distrustful of what we're hearing you say, like, and they were sort of prepared to kind of make us feel better, because they gave us a timeline that was like in, you know, in weeks and not years. And so that felt really good to us. I can't really, I guess they're going to be drafting an agreement in principle, and there's going to be changes that are going to be happening within a few weeks. And so that feels really good to us. And as we go from there, we have to sort of renegotiate the KHSA with the settlement parties. And so, you know, there are still things that need to happen. There are hurdles, but these things are going to be happening in the in the coming weeks. And, you know, you'll see some big changes happening in the coming weeks.
All right. How can our listeners here at KBOO Radio support what you're doing?
you know, one of the things that Oregon listeners can do is, you know, try to get Oregon on board, because that's one of the things that we, you know, this is a California agreement. These dams, the money is coming from California Water Bond. And like I was saying, just to be educated on, you know, what this means to the people of the basin here, how our lives and everything, who we are, really revolves around the health of our river.
I'm Lisa Loving, KBOO News.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 5:59. Coming up next, Rose City Native Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the film screening of Warrior, The Life of Leonard Peltier, Saturday, February 6th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. Warrior tells the true story of Leonard Peltier, the American Indian leader locked away for life in Leavenworth Penitentiary. Warrior takes us back to the violent confrontations at Pine Ridge and Wounded Knee in the 70s, and through Peltier's harrowing odyssey through the American justice system. Leonard's son, Chauncey Peltier, will hold a Q&A after the film. Again, that's Warrior, The Life of Leonard Peltier, Saturday, February 6th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.